Well, are you blessed? And if somebody said you're cursed, what will you say? Hallelujah. Just tell them you can't curse what God has blessed. God has set his blessing upon me. The blessing is not the material things. The material things are a result of the blessing that's on our lives. Amen? So God empowered Abraham. He empowered Isaac. He empowered Jacob. He blessed Joseph as well. And they all prospered. And God didn't stop with them, but they are the patriarchs that we refer to because of this new covenant that we have. Amen. They had a covenant that was pretty good. But we have a covenant that's even much better. And so God wants us to enjoy the covenant relationship that we have with him. And we go to Ephesians because in this particular book, you're dealing with people who were involved in witchcraft and sorcery and things like that. I'm not saying that we've been involved in those kinds of things, but if any of us have done any drugs in our lives, we were dabbling with witchcraft. We were dabbling with pharmakia. Yeah. And so we've been set free from that. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. So whatever damage was done in the natural, in the earthly, it gets healed and made whole in the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're beginning with verse 3. We stopped there last week, and we talked about the blessing and being blessed. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's much more important to have the spiritual blessing than just to have the material or earthly blessing. Everything of this earth is only temporal. Everything in the natural, it's only temporal. It's only going to be around for so long. We know even when we purchase things, we can purchase things and we can buy them brand new, but we keep them long enough, they're going to get old. They're going to get worn. If it's an automobile, you know, it's going to wear down and you have to keep it serviced. I mean, you can maintain it, and it's always good to take care of the things that you do have. They last a lot longer. Amen. Some people don't take care of the things that they have, and you can see an immediate decline in value and looks and everything. And, you know, they just don't appreciate things. And they just, you know, if you don't appreciate it, if you don't take care of it, it won't last very long. But if you take care of it, it'll last you longer. But you can buy that car, and you have to keep up the maintenance on it. You have to keep doing those oil changes. You have to buy those tires. You have to, you know, sometimes do transmission changes, air conditioner, all of those types of things, maintenance to keep that thing up or to do the upkeep on it. And so the things of this earth, they perish. Even these earthly tabernacles that we live in, they perish. They only last for so long, and then the earth, the dust has to return back to itself. But our spirit and our soul is eternal. And so just the natural blessing, just the material blessing, it's not adequate. I mean, it may be nice, it may feel good, but only for a season. Even the new car after a while can wear off on you and you don't have the same joy and zeal in driving it that you used to have when you first got it. It doesn't have that new car smell that it did when you first got it and all. And so, you know, and it may do something that disappoints you. And the more the car disappoints you, the less happy you are with the thing. And so something can become a curse easily. But the spiritual blessing is what matters most, because that deals with eternity. And that carries with you or goes with you all throughout your life here on earth, as well as in the life to come. And so Paul says, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, or all or every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Then he goes on, according as he hath chosen us. Praise be unto God. Everybody say chosen. Hallelujah. When we came to Christ, it wasn't just us coming to him. We were simply answering a call, a summons. And we responded to that call, that summons, that tug, if you will. But we've been chosen, which means God wanted us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody ever felt unwanted or anybody ever been rejected? You know, anybody ever had a, I'm not trying to dig up bad stuff or, you know, make you feel guilty or feel bad about something, an experience, but I'm just saying, you know, you can relate to the feeling, you can relate to the experience by being rejected. If it's a parent that rejects you, that hurts. If it's a boyfriend, girlfriend that rejects you, that hurts. If it's a spouse that rejects you, that hurts. If it's a child, one of your own, that rejects you, that hurts. You know the feeling of rejection. But in Christ Jesus, you are chosen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You have been selected by Christ Jesus. Out of 7+ billion people on the earth, you are one of those in the category of being chosen by God. Hallelujah. And, you know, it may sound like, yeah, I've been chosen. You better start saying, I've been chosen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless God. Somebody thought something of me. Somebody loved me. Somebody was concerned with me. Somebody cares about me. If nobody in the earth realm cares about you, God does. That's why he chose you or selected you. Now, they say, I have not read the legal documents, you know, but they say, you know, a natural parent can divorce their children. I know that's, some of you look shocked. You can take the kids to court and divorce yourself from them. Yeah. You can do it legally. Or the child can divorce you. But when you adopt, you cannot. You have to keep them. They're yours. Search it out. You can't go to court and say, I don't want them no more. Not after you've adopted them. They are yours. Yeah. Or just go ahead and say, I'm my daddy's and my daddy is mine. He can't get rid of me. Praise God. I've been chosen. I've been adopted. I've been brought into the family of God. I'm not a reject. At my worst, God will still love me. Hallelujah. And he will not give up on me. But I'm not going to live in such a way to try and test that. Praise God. You know, see how far I can go with God before he just finally gives up on me. No, I want to keep running to him just to let him know how much I appreciate that he has chosen me in him. Even before the foundation of the world. This is mind-blowing right here. But our God knows everything, past, present, and future. And so he, in the beginning, before the foundations of the world, saw you and said, that's mine. Like a chess game, if you will, with the devil. He's got his and God's got his. Well, what about the people that have not been? They have the opportunity. Jesus died for the entire world that the world through him might be saved. Yeah. So when you came to God, you simply came into the reason that you were born the first time. And that was to be a child of God, to have eternity in your hearts, and to live and glorify him in this earth. Yeah. He wants to see you do well in life. He wants to see you. John said it best. Beloved, I wish above all else that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Why? So that God may be glorified. Yeah. That God may be glorified. If we live a life of stubbornness and rebelliousness as a child, it's because we're still a child in God. But when we begin to grow and mature and start to reflect the very image and likeness of the one who has now created us in Christ Jesus, even unto good works, when we start to mature, we start to bear the image of our Father, and he gets glory. And that's maturity in Christ, not just your earthly numbers. Now, I just turned 59, what was it, Saturday, praise God. It was one of those days. It's one of those days with June 23rd on it. I just turned 59, and of those 59 years, 34 of them have been in the kingdom. So I'm 34 in the kingdom, even though I'm 59 in the natural. What matters is what's happening in the kingdom, because there's really no limitations to my age. I shall live forever, and you shall too. Hallelujah. And if you want to spend time counting, you know, 1,000 years and 10,000 years and 20,000 years, you go right ahead, or you just go ahead and live and enjoy eternity, because that's what we've been called into in this great calling of God. So he says one of the things about our spiritual blessing is that we were chosen. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. One of them is we've been chosen in him. And it says, as I quoted earlier, before the foundation of the world. In other words, before the world came into existence, this is why God, he's in eternity past, he's in eternity present, he's in eternity future. God always was, always is, and always will be. He has no beginning. Everything begins in him. He sees everything. The Bible says, Isaiah says it, he sees the end from the beginning. He saw everything that you would do in life and saw fit that you would come in. Yeah. He saw Adam sin before Adam sinned. And God still made Adam. And it's the same way with us up until this day. God knew everybody that would be on this planet. He's an awesome God. You know, it's like, man, God's got a big brain, just, you know, a memory that is just, whoo, total recall. The only thing he forgets is what we repent of. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions. You know, they're way in the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember. He says, their lawless deeds I will remember no more. When you repent and ask God to forgive you of something, it is wiped clean as if it never happened. You are put in right position once again. You are restored. You are cleansed. You are purged of that sin. And you are perfect in God's eyesight. He sees you through the blood of Jesus. So you've been chosen in Christ even before the foundation of the world, before things even came into existence. Hallelujah. And here's something else that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holiness is an attribute of God's nature. It's God. We know it as being separated, set apart, sanctified, but in its pureness. And this is what God has called us into. When God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. If God says it, that settles it. Be ye holy. It's not in all of our works and what we can do. It's in our ability to receive what he has done for us in Christ Jesus. Our holiness is not of our own, because even in our own righteousness, we are what? As filthy rags. But it's his that he imputes to us. When God imputes his righteousness, which is what he does when we receive Jesus, we receive the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus. That righteousness puts us in right standing with God, just as if we've never sinned. It's like Adam was before he sinned. We are pure, we are holy, and we are blameless before him. Now, the adversary we read about in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, he comes before the throne of God daily accusing the brethren, trying to bring guilt, shame, and condemnation against the child of God. And although we don't see it in the natural, the Word of God reveals it to us what's happening in the realm of the Spirit. And a lot of times when we're feeling guilty about something we repented of and been forgiven of, when that guilt all of a sudden comes upon us, it's an adversary that's trying to accuse us to make us, you know, to make us embarrassed, if you will, before our God, to bring about a separation from him. But in God's eyesight, we are holy and blameless before him. It's a part of our heritage. It's a part of our inheritance. It's a part of our spiritual blessing to be in that position because, you know, God is pure and holy. Yeah. And yet he's given us the adoption and he's given us the Spirit of God whereby we can cry out, Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. That's the dearest type of term. I hope that makes sense. But that is, you know, that is, you know, you've heard of mommy dearest type thing. So it's daddy dearest. You know, it draws us nigh to him. It's like, you know, husband and wives, they may have love talk that they share with one another or even a love tone, if you will. Like right now you hear my voice. And so, but when there's intimacy involved, it can change. You understand what I mean? Some of you who are married, you understand what I mean. You may not understand. You'll get there one day. All of a sudden, you start talking funny. Almost like you sucked in some helium, you know, and your voice just changes when you're communicating with the one that you love. Okay, so it becomes like endearment. I think that's a good word to use. It's out of the heart. Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. That relationship, that's what we've been brought into with our God. We don't have to serve him with our head down and, oh, I don't deserve it. And stop condemning yourself, especially when you go to pray. I'm not saying if you mess up, be quick to repent, get cleansed, and get right back in the place that you belong. But don't spend 15, 20 minutes before God, oh God. He's like, you're my son, you're my daughter. Look at me and talk to me. Fellowship with me. Act like you got a right to be where you are because you do have that right because it was established for you in Christ Jesus. Stop being overwhelmed with the ways of the world and start being overwhelmed by my presence and glory upon your life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Get into my presence. Remember, let your complaint be what, Mr. Batten? See, it was so good. It's like, why can't I remember it? You wrote it down. Come on. Because, you know, it's like, yeah, put praise in the complaints. Because, you know, it'd be so good. But then if I try and hold on, then he won't get no more. And he just keeps giving stuff. Yeah, I like some of those one-liners he gives. Hallelujah. They'll be in the earth long after we're gone. Praise God. A generation 30 years down the road will be saying it. A man of God once said, put praise in the place of complaint and watch God move. Praise God. Whew. We have to get that copyrighted. And let's see, what else we need to do with that? Put it on the T-shirt. Put it on a banner. Put it on the wall. Yeah, praise God. We got to get that copyrighted. Because otherwise, okay, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let us be going. So, from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know God loves you, right? How much do you truly believe that? Yeah. I guess it's a Selah moment because you're looking at me like, is there anything else coming behind that? And I'm like, is there any response coming from you? How much he loves you. He loves us all. And his love, it's like layers. You know, you just keep discovering how deep. That's what Paul talked about in this same book. We may get there, not tonight. But we may get there. He talked about the widths, the lengths, the depths, the heights, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. That kind of love. It just, no matter, you think, just when you think you bottomed it out, just when you think you've exhausted God's love, and you might feel like, oh, God must not even love me for what I've done. Nevertheless, the love gets deeper. Yeah, because he starts embracing you even in your failure. He starts loving on you. He starts hunting you down, chasing you down, even in your failure. Not that God is pleased with your failure. God has not planned any failure for any of his children. But he loves us greater than the failure. the widths, the lengths, the depths, the heights, to know the love of Christ. Paul felt like he was the least of all the apostles, yet he outlabored them all. But he says, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in him and on him caused him to outlabor all of the apostles. But he felt like he should not even be in the kingdom, let alone be called an apostle, because he persecuted Christ. But even in his persecution, because Jesus is like this, you persecute the church, you persecuting me. This is why we don't have to fight or try and defend ourselves, because it's really not us that people are coming against. They're coming against Christ. We're just his representatives. But Paul, in trying to shut the church down, throwing saints in prisons, consenting to their death, yet Jesus loved them so much that he told Ananias, go down there, and I want you to go to Paul. And he sent Ananias down there to minister to him and teach him the way of salvation. Ananias argued with God. Lord, are you sure? You know the stories about this man. And what did God say? Jesus. What did he say? He said, he is a chosen vessel of mine. See, that's you. You've been chosen. Others may think you're scrap. I don't. I think you're precious. Praise God. Might be diamonds in the rough, still need to be refined, still need to be perfected, as we all do. But nevertheless, I see the beauty. I see the diadem. I see the preciousness of what God has done in bringing you into the kingdom. We once were scrap, all of us, but now we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We may have been doing bad stuff before, but we got born again and created in the newness of Christ Jesus now to do good deeds that glorify our Father which is in heaven. Anybody listening to me? Hallelujah. Glory. That's good news. Praise God. We may not have amounted to anything in the world. People may have thought very little of us. You know how they have, well, they're going to be the most successful, or they're going to be the greatest failure. You know how they do in the yearbooks, type things like that. And they may not have said anything about you. We don't know what's going to happen with you. But you can't build your life off of that, on what other people think or say concerning you. You got to build your life off of what Christ is saying about you. Amen? Hallelujah. You may have done so much wrong that you feel like you can never do right. But Jesus has recreated you in his image after his likeness. And he created you for good things, for good works, that you can glorify the Father. None of us are a waste. We were before we came to Christ. But now that we've come to Christ, praise God. We are the best that God has to offer. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good anyhow. Praise Jesus. So in verse 5, he says, having predestinated us, and we have an understanding of predestination. In other words, our future has been predetermined. When we got born again, we simply came into purpose. We came into the very reason why we got born the first time, so that we can get born again the second time. But this birth leads to life eternal. The first birth leads unto death. And so now, having come, our future has already been predetermined in God. That is, here on earth as well as in all eternity. Predestinated. And he says here, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to stop, this last verse. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. There's that word adoption. We have been adopted. In other words, God is not going to cast us away. We can run away if we want to, but God has no intention of casting us away. He has adopted us as his own. He chose us. He brought us. He saw us in our mess and cleaned us up and brought us into his goodness, grace and glory. So he has predestinated us unto the adoption of children. We are now children of God by Christ Jesus to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And that's the place we have to come to as sons and daughters. It's about his will now. Yeah. It's the path. It's the course. It's the way. People say, you know, why do you go to church all the time? They don't say that to me anymore. That stopped a long time ago. But they might say it to some of you. Why do you go to church all the time? Why do you spend so much time at church? Why? Enough to make you feel guilty, like you're doing something wrong. But it's like, because I'm a child of God, and I am the church. I'm a part of the body. And this is what sons and daughters of God do. What are you trying to say about me? You're judging me? Well, if you're not a child of God, you will think that what I do is foreign and weird. But if you were a child of God, you would understand that this is a part of life. Hallelujah. This is how I'm supposed to live. I'm not supposed to live that wayward life. Well, you don't have any fun. What do you mean I don't have any fun? Who told you I don't have any fun? Well, if you look miserable all the time, they know you're not having no fun in your relationship with God and your relationship, you know, with the saints. But if you allow the joy of God to come forth, if you just be confident in who you are, who God created you to be, and who he is, and your relationship to him, your worst day will still have sunshine, and you'll still be able to smile, even at the end of the day. When everything has gone chaotic, you still have the peace of God. Even in hurt and pain, it's like, but I don't understand. How come you're not? It's because I'm a child of God. And he has my life, my eternity in his hands. I can't lose. Everything works out for my good. Hallelujah. Everything. What do you mean? But don't you know how bad this is? Well, it doesn't matter how bad it gets. It's going to get better. How do you know that? Because my God is in control of everything. He is. He knows my end from my beginning. He knows my end from my beginning. He already has predestinated. He didn't predestinate me to failure. He didn't predestinate me to misery. The kingdom that I'm of is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. So I know that joy is coming. How do you know that? It looks pretty bad. But I know that joy is coming. Why? Because that's what my God has promised. And I can go on and on. He cannot lie. He's not a man that he should lie. Everything works together for my good. How do you know that? God said so. Where is God? First of all, he lives in me. Secondly, he resides in heaven. But his spirit is here in the earth. And he lives and abides in me. And he wants to live in you too. Amen? But you are blessed with the spiritual blessings. And so we'll continue. But just remember this. You've been chosen. I know you know that. But think about it. Over and over. You've been handpicked by God. You've been selected by God. You just don't let nobody convince you. You were just down on your luck. Hate that word luck. You just came and religion is a crutch for you. Don't insult my God. He's greater than a crutch. He's the master of the universe. He controls everything, and I'm in his hands. Hallelujah. He takes care of me, and he takes good care of me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I kept you far too long. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We thank you that you've given us authority and power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt us. We thank you that you have favored us and you're causing everything to work together for our good. So we thank you, Father God, that even where we're at now, we have joy, we have peace. That does not go away. We have security. We have strength. We have you, and that will never change. Thank you, Father God, that something good is about to happen in our personal lives. Thank you, something good is about to happen in our families' lives. Thank you, Father, that you're at work and you're doing a great work. Thank you, Master, for your strength, your power, your wisdom, your might. Thank you for never giving up on us, but always there to raise us up for your great name's sake. I speak your blessing over your sons and daughters. That you are blessed. The Lord our God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. His name be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that above all else you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell do not prevail over you, but you conquer and triumph over the gates of hell. You tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing by any means shall hurt you, because you're the church of the living God. Jesus has given you authority and power over all the power of the enemy. Jesus has declared to you that upon this rock he'll build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail over you. May you be blessed in Jesus' name. And everybody who agrees shouted, amen. Amen. All right, love you. We'll see you soon, if not sooner. Do we have anything this? No, we just have Sunday coming up. Nothing this weekend, correct? Except for evangelism. Amen. Love you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord, and we'll see you soon.